have questions. Questions like, why is it called a building if it's already built? Why is there no egg in eggplant? And do penguins have knees? But some questions are more important than others. This past Easter, we gave a survey to find your most asked questions. Questions like, how do I hear God's voice? How can I deal with difficult people? What does the Bible say about forgiveness and heaven? And what's the answer for all of my stress? Every week, we're going to answer your most asked questions and discover God's best plan, because you asked for it.
All right. Welcome to part five of our series, You Asked For It. Anybody enjoying these series? Right? All right. I love it. I love it. I just want to also, as I welcome you to part five of the series, I want to say a heartfelt welcome to all those that are checking us out online. Come on, give it up to those that are here online. We welcome you. There's a lot of people that check us out live, and also through technology are able, if they're not able to join us live, can join us later. And we're just really excited about this tool that God's using for us to reach outside the four walls. I've never wanted to be a church that just sat inside four walls. Come on, you know, sit, soak, and sour, us four, no more. God bless us and our little holy circle. No, no, we're about making a difference and reaching the world for Jesus. Amen? And so welcome to Cross Point. So glad that you are here today. I'm really enjoying this series, You Ask For It. If you don't like this, I can't help it. You asked for it. So, hey, you know, I'm just saying. But we've just had a wonderful time together as we began this week, this series with the first week's discussion, answering the question of, I'm stressed. How do I deal with all this stress in my life? And we talked about that. All of these are archived online. You can go to our website at crosspointworshipcenter.com. There you can find these messages along with message notes. I hope you're utilizing these if you need those, and you can download those and look at those and listen to that throughout the week. I actually will oftentimes, as I'm working, just go on there. It's audio, and just listen to it as I'm working, and you know, I'm just crying again all over again with some of the stuff that I'm hearing through this series. In week one, again, we talked about stress. The next week, we talked about biblical parenting, what that looks like, God's formula for raising our children. And then the third week, one of my children actually spoke. Theron Jr. brought the message, Understanding My Bible. What a phenomenal message. You need to go online and hear that. If you need to understand your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, he covered it. That was a major discourse there that we were able to glean from, and I think that will really help you. I encourage you to look back and refer to that often. And then last week, we had an amazing message brought to us by our small groups pastor, Pastor Steve Guptill, about miracles. Because the God of our Bible still does miracles today, and it was a beautiful message how that he intertwined miracles and how that works with faith. Just an amazing, amazing message. That was one I was crying listening to. Again, just a powerful story there at the end of that message. So I encourage you to, sorry, we're having technical difficulties, but we're going to be all right, everybody, all right? A while ago, the mic wouldn't work. I found out it was flipped on my back. But anyway, it doesn't pick up too well back there. So, moving along. This week, we're going to talk about something that perhaps all of us deal with at times in our lives, though we may not want to admit it, and that is our battle with addictions. And so I think there's going to be some things I believe is really going to help us today in this area, because addictions are what the Bible describes as strongholds. And when you look at that definition of stronghold in the Greek, it basically means that I'm a prisoner locked by a lie. I'm a prisoner locked by a lie. I do believe that, you know, as Christians, when we come to Christ, that really probably 95% of that old stuff immediately falls off and we experience new freedom. But then there's that part, that remaining part at times that is a process that we've got to work through and get freed of us and freed of. And so most of us, if not all, have this one area that we struggle with, right? That we struggle with this area, and it's difficult. It won't seem to let go of us. And so and sometimes when we're dealing with something that we just cannot seem to shake, oftentimes we begin to rationalize, and we say things like, well, maybe God just wants me to be like this, or maybe this is just who I am, and there's no real solutions. I just have to accept that I'm that way, and we begin to try to just cope with accepting that this is just a part of who I am. Can I tell you, I don't believe that's God's best for you to settle. I believe God wants to set us free from it all. In fact, Jesus said that he came to destroy the works of the enemy. Not just put up with, tolerate, cohabitate with, rent the devil a room in the back part of your house, you know, that you go back and hang out with him every now and then. No, I believe the whole house, as we were just talking about a while ago, the whole house needs to be purified totally from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Everything that touches your life needs to be surrendered and belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? And when we do that, great things can happen. We can experience the best of what God has for us. God wants to set us free from, and whatever that is for you. I have a feeling you probably already know what that one thing is. Whatever that may be, some kind of addiction or a habit or a substance or a lust or whatever it is, that one thing that keeps showing up. And you show up in a service like this and you say, okay, God, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to come. I'm going to pray. Never again, God, never again. Only to go out and that thing shows up again. And so we're going to talk about this, what it really means to be free and how we can discover what true freedom is. So I want to take you on a journey to discover that today. Now, Paul in the Bible actually identifies with us in this area. In Romans chapter 7, we have your message notes there. You can follow along. You can also look at those if you're watching online along with us. Those are there for you to follow along with us. And so we look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, and he says this: I don't understand myself at all. Don't you just love the Bible? You know, it's not a bunch of guys that just got it all together and telling you need to get it together too. No, Paul says, hey, I just really don't understand myself at all. Anybody ever feel that way? Can you identify with Paul? Paul's identifying with us, and he says, but I really want to do what is right. And then he says, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. So he identifies with us. We need to recognize that what that addiction then looks like in our life. Okay, so what does that really look like? When we're in this place where we say, man, I really want to be free from this, but no matter what I do, it just seems like nothing happens and nothing ever changes. I want to take you through some steps of the cycle of what I call a cycle of destruction. What happens when we're in this place of addiction? So first of all, write this down. First of all, it becomes a part of your identity. So when you have this habit, when you have this addiction, whatever that is in your life, when you've been dealing with it over a long period of time, you just begin to adopt it as part of who you are, becomes part of your identity. So we say, I get angry, so what? You know, I'm Scottish, my dad had anger, whatever it is, you know, I just have anger. And so that's just who I am. Just deal with it, accept me. And so we just think life just has to be that way. You know, well, you know, I just like the ladies, you know, that's just who I am. I'm a ladies' man. No. We're going to keep it real here today, y'all. Right? My job is to take every lie that the devil told you, right? Every lie the devil told you, and bring truth to expose that lie. Because all the times we have bought into a lie. Our circumstances sometimes tries to tell us who we are. Our society tries to re-identify who we are. But we need to come back to the one who made us, who wrote the book on our life, and discover his best for our life and his plan for our life. Amen, everybody? And so it becomes a part of your identity. Actually, let me just give you a truth in that. The Bible actually says that if any man be in Christ, he is a brand new creature. He's all things, the old things have passed away and all things have become new. You don't have to be that way. And if you buy into that, just who I am, let me tell you, God has something much better for you. In fact, I was taking a step further, and I don't mean to be offensive with this, but there are some groups that are really, you know, trying and doing a great job in helping people find freedom, okay? And I know there's a place for this, so just bear with me, but there's some groups that you go into and you just need to, first, for the rest of your life, you got to say, hey, I'm Theron, my name is Theron, and I'm an alcoholic, for the rest of your life. Now, don't get me wrong, I understand the reason for that, and that it's important that we identify who we are, we identify we've got a problem. We're going to talk about this. But here, I just believe, folks, that God wants to set you free and give you a new name and a new identity so that no, that's who I used to be, but I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. I'm not that anymore. Amen, everybody? So God wants to give us a new identity. So it becomes part of your identity. The second thing that happens in this cycle is that you feel increasingly hopeless. So you come to a message like this and you say, okay, Pastor, give it your best shot, because I got a stack of books at my house. I got the CDs I've been listening to. I've tried and tried, and I've heard a string of sermons that would wrap around the planet, and this is not going to help me, so good luck with this. And so when we fought these battles over the year, we get in this place of, I'm just hopeless. It works for everybody else, but it's not going to work for me. And then that leads us to another step in the cycle, and that is you become defensive. Where you're saying, look, I don't have a problem. I just don't have a problem. Or you don't know what I've been through. If you knew what I would be through, I'm justified in being the way I am because of what I have been through. And become defensive and protective of that thing. And then that leads us to another step, and that is you become a slave. And now it starts telling you how to live your life. You become a slave to that thing. If all of us will be honest, there's that one area that bosses us around, and you become its slave. I don't want to be in debt, but when I go shopping, I just gotta buy it. You know, it's an addiction. Can't stop. By the way, you know, it being in debt, it's called being trapped, being in bondage. And you become a slave. That debt becomes your master. Why do you think they call it MasterCard? Okay, all right. I'm just saying. All right, so it gives you a little clue there. There's a reason why it says MasterCard. My Dave Ramsey back there. Yeah. So you become a slave to it. Then another step that happens, and this is the most tragic thing, and that is you begin to lose your life. So you get to this place where you say, look, there's promises in God's word, but it's for everybody else because the pages of my life have already been written. So we just die. We resign that nothing is going to change. Let me give you a scripture I think that's going to help you. In Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14, let's look at what this says together. Do not let sin control the way you live. See, that thing will control you. It'll control the way you live. He says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. You see, there's this mentality, oh, we're just under grace, so that means I got to sin a little bit every day, and you know, just have to live with it. Listen, Jesus never came to save you in your sin. He came to save you from your sin. And I know it's not about our righteousness. It is about the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because on our best of days, we're all a mess, and we'll never attain by our own efforts or our own works. But Jesus came to purify his church. He came to cleanse us. He came to deliver us from sin. He came that we may to set the captives free. Come on, it's his mission statement of what he does. He wants us freed up from that stuff so that we can have a new identity, understand who he is. Look at this. So do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Our bodies are the temple of the Lord, right? Instead, give yourselves completely. Everybody say that, completely. Completely to God. And look what it goes on to say. Sin is no longer your master. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. And so, how do I do that? I mean, it could be food, whatever it is for you. It may be how you, what your eating habits. It may be what you do after you eat. It may be what you click. It may be your language. It may be your anger. It could be hunting. It could be shopping. Just anything that you're obsessed with that it controls us. And the question then is as to whether something masters me or not. I want us to look at this. I'm going to give you some questions. This is not in your notes, but for you to kind of contemplate as to whether you are in bondage or not, whether you are addicted or not. So here's some questions. First of all, does your family or friends say that you have a problem? Secondly, do you continue even though you know it's hurting people? Here's another one. Do you arrange your schedule around it? First time I went to college, I knew this girl in college who worked her schedule of classes around her favorite soap opera. I just thought that was bizarre. Y'all don't even know what soap operas are probably today. But anyway, do you arrange your schedule around it? Can you go 1 week without it? Here's another one. Is it leading you to isolation? And are you trying to keep a secret? Listen, if you answered two or three of those in the affirmative, chances are you've got some addiction and some bondage going on in your life. Now, there's a study that tells us that scientists have discovered that there are some lustful patterns in men's lives. There's a pattern there that they've seen that in men's life there's a lustful pattern. And what they discovered is that men are more prone to lust on certain days of the week. Days that start with T, the letter T. Tuesday, Thursday, today, tomorrow, Tatterday, Tunday. I'm just saying. Okay, just trying to lighten things up a little bit, y'all. Need a little humor there, right? Okay. I just want to lighten things up because some of you are like, man, he's talking about all my problems today. We're going to give you some hope today. God's word has some truth and some hope for us. What would it take then to become free? I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. I love this verse. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Everybody circle that word, Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, that Greek word for spirit is a word pneuma, where we get it's defined as the breath of God. There's wind. And in that word, there is power in that. What I want us to see here is that when God shows up, by the way, when he shows up, there's a manifestation of his presence, right? When God shows up, I mean really shows up to do something in your life, there's a manifestation that happens. That's why we do everything we do right here on Sunday morning. Is my job is to help us create an environment where you can just experience his presence. An environment of faith where you can encounter and know that he's not just some God that was written about thousands of years ago that lives millions of light years away and has nothing to do with us. No, God shows up in here and wants to reveal himself by his Holy Spirit to us. There is a manifestation of God's power. That's why the Bible describes it as wind. There's this power. And when that happens in that place of power of his presence, there is freedom that occurs. And what I'm saying is this addiction, this habit, whatever it is for you, you can't do this on your own. This is where it begins. It begins with God, because we need more than our own human efforts. It's going to take divine power in our life to overcome. I think of Zechariah 4 and 6, where God says, it's not by might, it's not by our own ingenuity, not by power, not by our own strength or our abilities, but he says, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So it's by his Spirit that God comes in, and he has the power to break the bondage of sin. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and 1. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. This is his mission. By the way, his mission is that of freedom to set us free. His mission is not to come with an accusatory finger and point in your business and say, get it together, why are you doing this? Stop it, don't. That's not what he's doing. His mission is that you will find freedom. Jesus didn't just come to make me feel sorry. He came to set me free, amen? See, religion won't free you. Coming and just joining a church won't free you, but a relationship with Jesus will set you free. And Jesus came to get us out of the mess. He is on a rescue mission. Amen. He's on a rescue mission. See, condemnation says, you're a failure. You're a disaster. You've always been a disaster. You've always been a failure and always will. It condemns you, right? Condemnation just condemns you. That's what the devil does. He's an accuser. The Bible says he's an accuser of you before God. He accuses you. But Jesus steps in the middle of that. He's our intercessor. He steps in between and intercedes for us. And see, the difference is God's love. He said that he sent his son not to condemn us. He never did come to condemn us. Condemnation is just, it says, hey, you're a mess and there's no way out. But Jesus comes and says, yeah, you're a mess, but here's the way out. There's a big difference. And that's what we want to communicate today. There is a way out of that stuff, all right? And so this is the role of the Spirit, to bring power, to bring presence, to bring freedom. So you can say, okay, that's what God does. What's my role in that? Let me give you three things, because we have a part in this process as well. Okay? Can't do it with all your efforts alone. But it begins with God, but there is a part for us to play in this. So let me give you three things of how that we can break free and experience freedom from these addictions. Okay? Number one, can the excuses. Canned excuses. You say, well, but if you knew my situation, there's a legitimate reason why I'm the way I am. You don't know what my father did to me. You don't know what that person did to me. I got real hurt on the inside. I was abused, Pastor. You don't understand. This is real. And I do not want to devalue your situation. I understand that that's real. But as long as we continue to blame, we're never going to get out of that mess. At some point, we've got to take responsibility for where we are and say, okay, it stops today, and begin to take steps to move forward. Look at Luke chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to Jesus, they were going to follow Jesus, but they began to make excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. You know, everybody's got excuses. Come on. Right? We all make excuses. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. I'm going to follow you, but just let me take care of this first. We don't put God first, other things first. And then another one, please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. I love this verse, because as a pastor, I've heard it all, you know. And I'm not trying to be hard, but I've heard it all. And just when you think you've heard it all, you know. I got married, I can't come. I got a baby, I can't come. I got this, I can't come. Come on. And I'm not just talking about church attendance. I'm talking about following Jesus and where we are spiritually, okay? We must take responsibility. We got to get to the place where we can excuses and we say enough is enough, okay? With God's help, we got to say, with God's help, I'm going to find freedom. Everybody say it with me. With God's help, I'm going to find freedom. Now, some of you are thinking, but I can't. But I can't. Can I tell you, that's a lie. That's a lie. I'm here, come on, to expose the lie that says I can't. And I'm going to give you some truth. Here's the truth. Philippians 4:13 says, for I can. Come on, everybody read this verse with me. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Let's say it again. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. One more time. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So I want to take every lie and I want to replace it with the truth. So number one, can the excuses. Number two, cut the ties. Cut the ties. So you can't just come here today and pray and go back out and involve yourself in the same stuff. So every one of us need to take a look at our life, what influences are, what people are in our life that are pulling us down, okay, that's just negative around us. Now, I'm not talking about your spouse. You can't get rid of your spouse. Okay, all right, okay. It's him, it's her. No, okay. But negative influences and environments that we are in that pull us down. You know, what are our habits? What are we doing? What choices are we making? I had actually somebody text me this morning at 12:31 a.m. And if you're watching online, don't put a comment on there that this was you because no one will know. Okay, so don't show everybody who you are. But it says, my addiction is junk food. That was at 12:31 a.m. Well, maybe we shouldn't be opening the fridge at 12:31 a.m. You know, we've all got, what can we do to cut the ties? But I want to tell you, oftentimes it's not just the refrigerator, it's people. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 and 34. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And then he says this, come back to your senses. Start making good decisions. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. So today, everybody, today, when we go out of here, we need to go out and make better decisions. And by the way, there's some of us that may need to cut off some relationships that are not healthy. And you know it's not healthy. But you're saying, well, you know, but that relationship, come on, show me your friends, I'll show you your future, right? So there may be some hard decisions. We got to make a decision so that we can cut the ties and be free, right? Things that are unhealthy. There's some steps that we need to take. It may be putting a filter on the computer, right? I heard of a son who was going off to college, and he approached his dad, and he said, Dad, you know, I'm going off to college, going to live in a dorm, and I don't have a problem in this area. I mean, I really don't have a problem in this area, but I really think it would be a good idea if I had some kind of a filter on my computer so that it doesn't become a problem. You know, and he said, I've heard of this system. It's actually one that Dave Ramsey endorses, where every website you go to, it emails somebody what websites you're visiting, you know. And he said, Dad, I'd like to get on that and let you see everything that I'm looking at. Now, isn't that cool? Because the son recognized that he didn't have a problem with that what his potential could be, come on, that what he could do. And not only that, that there's an enemy out there roaming around trying to bring an opportunity to you to cause you downfall, right? So we've got to make some concrete, this is practical, folks, but make some decisions about our life, right? Psalm 139 says, try me, know me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to pray that every day of our life. I heard of a guy that was about to get married, and he would pray this prayer, and he prayed. He said, God, show me if there's anything, you know, just reveal to me. And that day, God just put a finger on him, on it, and he was about to get married, and And now, again, I'm not putting this off on all of us. This was just for him. This is what God put a finger on in his life. But he said, you need to get rid of all that stuff from your past relationships, your old girlfriend stuff. You know, that box that you've got with the pictures and with the stuffed animals, you know, and all that stuff. And so, because that just doesn't need to go in your marriage. And so he actually built a little fire outside and just burn it up and just, you know, and it just be free of it. And it was just something tangible that he needed to do. I'm just saying, I'm not putting that off on you, but there may be something tangible, something practical that you need to do to cut the ties. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves then to God. That's part of it, submit to God. But then resist the devil. That's some decisions we've got to make. And the Bible says, the result of that, he'll flee from you. Amen, everybody? So we need to can the excuses. We need to cut the ties. Look at the third thing. We need to fill the void. And I love this step. Because it's not enough just to get stuff out of your life. Because when that happens, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be lonely. Because that thing, it was there every day, you know, it's kind of your comfort food or whatever that is, you know. There's got to be something to take its place. I believe you get free not just running from something, but running to God, right? It takes both. And so look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine. Now, wine, you could put anything else in there too. Lust or, you know, kicking the puppies when you're mad, whatever it is, you know. Don't get drunk on that stuff, which leads to debauchery. That word debauchery, the definition of that is excessive indulgence in your senses. In other words, your senses take over. Whatever you feel, you do it. It calls the shots, whatever your appetite is. Can I tell you, when you feed the spiritual, those other two areas of your life, right? Everything changes. Your body, those physical appetites that wants to happen, those emotional desires. Listen, God, when he fills your spirit, he's able to handle both of those areas when you put him first. So fill the void. Let God fill the void in your life. So we know that it begins with the Spirit of God coming into our life. But then let me give you four things to fill your life with. Number one, God's Word. Write this down, God's Word. We need to make a decision that every day God's Word is going to be a part of our life. You see, the Bible is not just a religious book of instructions and information. It's alive. It has the power to set you free. Hebrews said that this book is a living, active. It's a sword that can go down into your life and change stuff. So I want to encourage you. Man, if this is the only meal you're getting every week, you're going to be malnourished. I encourage you, feed yourself. We want to encourage a church of self-feeders. Feed yourself. That's why on our website, we've got the one-year Bible on there that you can go to and get a verse every day. And you know, and if you get behind, don't worry about it. That verse will be there next year, okay? Just take today's verse and read that. You know, I know sometimes we get over-anxious and we want to read about three months' worth, okay? You're missing the point. You get back in bondage, okay? Look, man, look, just take a verse every day. Just make it a lifestyle. Come on, make it a lifestyle. And be free in this. So the Word of God, feed yourself daily bread, right? Ephesians 5 and 26 says this, we are washed by the cleansing of God's Word. And we all need to be washed. Why? We can sit here on Sunday morning and act all religious, but we all got issues. Hey, all God's people got issues, right? And if you're sitting there saying, I don't have an issue, that's your issue. I'm just saying, all right, okay. So fill it up with God's Word. Secondly, prayer. Let's just make this simple. Prayer is a conversation with God. It's a conversation with him. You know, we've made it real formal. I mean, we think God's from England or something. You know, oh, thou hast goddess. You know, if thou wouldest, thou couldest. You know, something. You know, I don't know what we think. He's not from England. Just talk to God like you would talk to anybody else. Just have a conversation with him. And another thing, God's not mad at you. God's not up there going, wish you'd get it together. No, God is a loving God who comes as a father comes to his children when they fall down. Listen, that thing that you fall down over, that thing that you keep going back and doing, it doesn't make God reject you. It makes him run to you all the more because he knows you need him in your life. Amen. Oh, man. Mm. So, and here's another thing. Here's the thing about your weaknesses and all, your addictions or your habits. God understands them. Did you catch that? God understands. See, there's a lot of things that you'll come and you'll tell me, and I've learned to say, I don't understand. I think sometimes that can be the most cruel thing to say, well I understand. And when you're thinking, no, you don't. No, you don't know. Your situation may be similar, but you don't, not in my shoes. You don't really understand. I care, but I don't understand at times. But there is one that fully understands more than you do understand. He understands. And look at this next scripture that says this in Hebrews chapter 4. Jesus understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and grace to help us when we need it. What do we need? We need his mercy. We don't need a sermon. We need his mercy. So we need to can excuses, cut the ties, fill the void with word and with prayer. And let me give you this one, an accountability partner. If you're the only one that knows your secret, you're in trouble. You need an accountability partner. That's the way God designed it. Proverbs 28 and 13 is one that I didn't give you in your notes. Let me give you this. He who conceals the sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Keep it a secret to see what happens. Right? You need someone that you can call in that moment when you're on that trip, when you're by yourself, that moment in the day when you know you're weak, that you can call somebody, or somebody knows they need to call you at certain times and be accountable. James 5 and 16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So we confess to God, yes, but we also confess to others. The Bible designed it that way because healing comes through relationships. That's why we do small groups here. That's why we're not just a church with small groups. We're a church of small groups because we know how valuable it is you get in relationship with somebody, right? I mean, that's where it happens. It doesn't, listen, it might hurt my feelings a little bit, but everything it's not going to happen here on a Sunday morning. I mean, I like my preaching, but, you know, it ain't that good, right? It ain't that good. I tell you, where real life change happens, where freedom begins to happen, is when you get next to somebody in relationship with somebody where you can take the mask off and you can get real and they can pour into your life and you can pour into their life. And I'm telling you, it always, always has, always will happen in the small setting, not in the huge crusade. In fact, we've had a missionary here this week. Some of you might have saw a little clip from that where he was discussing this. You know, we could throw a big net and we can get them. That's great. That's what Sunday morning's about. Let's get them saved. But something more has got to happen in their life, right? They've got to break it down. They've got to be relationship that happens. Right, everybody? All right. So then there you're going to find healing. Let me give you this last step, and that is ministry. Ministry. Write that down, ministry. So we want to fill the void with word, with a prayer, with an accountability partner, and then we've got to do something to make a difference. In other words, you've got to have something larger than your problem. See, the devil, what he wants to do is put a ditch in your path to keep you from your purpose, where God's best is for you, what he has designed for you. And these issues are just a ditch in your path. But when you can discover something bigger than your problems, guess what? Your problems begin to fade. You have something to live for. In fact, you're going to hear more about that next week. One of your questions was about purpose. And our Dream Team coordinator, Karen, is going to be here next Sunday and to wrap this series up with helping you discover your purpose. Romans 12:21 says this, though, about that. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. With good. So it's not just trying to avoid your problem. In fact, I understand that the more you think about something, whatever your most current thought is, that's what you move toward. So if an addiction saying, I got to stop this, got to stop this, got to stop this, and that's what's always in the forefront of your mind, whatever your most current thought, that's what you're going to move toward. Right? I mean, that's why Olympians, they don't concentrate on the penalty of failure. They concentrate on the reward of success. Because they know if they concentrate on failure, you know, you'll have a Florida State football moment like last night. But anyway, sorry. I don't know how that got in there. That's something I got to get over, that anger in front of the TV on Saturday nights. Confession's good for the soul. But whatever your most current thought is, that's what you're going to move towards. So come on, what you need to do is fill your life with good things and make it a difference to somebody else. Some of the best therapy for you today might be to get in your car and go to the hospital and visit somebody in greater need than you are. And you look, and then you look at your life and say, I don't have any problems. Come on, right? Make a difference. Get into ministry. Do something. Serve on the parking team, right? Pass a plate. Come on. Stuff some worship guides. Play a guitar, right? Come on. Change a baby's diaper. Do something to make a difference, right? Everybody, sing a song. Whatever it looks like for you, get on the team. Make a difference. And I'm telling you, it's going to make a difference in your life, right? And so, listen, if you do all this kind of stuff, though, all that we're talking about, without a relationship with God, good luck. It doesn't work. All the how-to books, all the 1, 2, 3 steps, it doesn't work. In fact, I heard of another group that was very successful in a recovery. They have a recovery program. And they were approached by government agencies saying, you know, we can help supplement this ministry. It's so successful. We've studied all these ministries. It's so successful. It's Teen Challenge, if you've ever heard of that. And they said, but there's one thing for us to subsidize that with government money. You're going to have to remove, they called it the Jesus factor. They were like 97% success rate. And they said, well, you don't understand. That's the whole secret to this whole thing. If you remove the Jesus factor, none of this stuff works. And I want to tell you, it may be the Jesus factor that you're missing, the relationship with Jesus. And I just think about it. You know, I'm so in love with my wife. I don't see any other women. I'm in love with her. I mean, it all fades. My small group last week, we talked about being where we focus. And in our study, we talked about how you put up your hand, and if I focus on my hand, all this behind me becomes, in the distance, become blurred. But if I focus through that and I look beyond that, then this up close becomes blurred. And where are we focusing? I'm just saying, I'm so in love with my wife, I see her and I don't see. I mean, what I'm saying is, we fall in love with Jesus. Make him the Lord of our life. That's where it all begins. And then just begin to follow him step by step. And God's going to lead you to a place of freedom. Everybody with me? Come on, bow your heads with me for just a moment today. I want to give you an opportunity today. Because, listen, you can't do it on your own. You don't have it. I don't have it. You need power in your life. So what I want to do is lead us in a prayer. Maybe you just need freedom. Maybe it's though that you don't have a real relationship with the Lord, or perhaps it's not what it should be. And what we're about to do is the easiest thing in the world to do, but it will cost you everything, because you got to give God control. But when you give God control, listen, we get the best of the deal, okay? Because he's going to take all of our misery and our weakness, and he's going to replace it with life. What would your life look like if you could truly be free? Folks, you can discover that today. And it all starts, come on, affirming our relationship with the Lord. So right now in this place, I want to help lead us in a prayer. And if that's you today, you say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, will you count me in? I need to make sure today that I'm in a right relationship with the Lord. If you're watching online, I want to encourage you, pray along with us. Pray that prayer. Respond. Let us know what's going on, and let us send you some things that we can help you with that. But let's pray together. Come on, everybody. If that's you today and you need to pray as we're coming, just real quickly, say, Pastor, count me in that prayer. Just slip up a hand. You put it right back down. Yes. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's pray. Everybody pray with me. If you're there online, just stop messaging for just a moment and pray with us. Just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, today, I know that you came to set me free. So today I surrender my life to you. Thank you for the cross, where you died for my sins, paid my debt for me, and you rose from the dead, guaranteeing my freedom from the bondage of sin. God, thank you for life in you today. I give you control of my life. I turn from my way to follow you. With all my heart, I'm going to follow you as you give me the power to do so. Thank you today for setting me free. Thank you for your word that declares, whoever the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. Today I declare my freedom by declaring my faith in you, Jesus. I declare you as Lord of my life. You are my master. Thank you for new freedom and a new beginning. Father, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer, that needed to pray it in a minute. Thank you for those that are here today that have made the best decision of their life. And thank you for those that are even watching online. God, I thank you for them. And I pray, Father, God, that you would set them free through the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for showing us that all things are possible through you who gives us strength. Lord, I thank you for found freedom through what you did for us at Calvary. And we give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give him praise in this house, Lord, as he's done in this place today.